with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Amen. Make me a sanctuary. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to 1 Chronicles 16 and 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Chronicles 16, 1 Corinthians 12. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We miss a lot of the people that are still over in Alabama having their services, and it'll be at least 1 o'clock our time before they'll even be headed this away. So just remember them, because they're in services now for the Lord. It was a good time. We had a real good time. It was, you know, the play was real good. You'll be very proud of the people we are. And all, it went real good. They've even got invites to go put it on somewhere else, you know, to put on the program and things. And that's good. But just remember, it was a good time. There was about, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 people in the altar there after the service praying for them and everything. And, you know, it was a good, just a good time all the way around. So just keep the ones in mind as traveling today, you know, coming back home and all, that the Lord would be with us, with them. And remember now that Sister Watson, I know you've already prayed, but Sister Watson is in the hospital, and they're running some tests on her to try to find out what her problem is. But I talked to her this morning, and she said that she was feeling better, and she's more up in spirits, you know, and everything, and all like that. She was doing a whole lot better. So just keep praying for her that the Lord would touch her. And remember, Brother and Sister Tatum, you know, most of you know Sister Tatum is getting real weak, so remember her, and the Lord would you know. I can't pray. As some people say, well, Brother Dale, why don't you pray for the Lord to take her on? I can't pray that away. That's contrary to the Bible, to pray for God to take somebody on, you know. Now, if you don't want to pray for them, that's be your choice. But it's contrary to the Word to pray that God just takes somebody on, you know. Even though, no matter how horrible it gets, it still would be contrary to me. So I have to pray that the Lord will touch her and bring her out of it, you know. But Brother Tatum has, you know, come to the point that he said that he had really wished that God would just come and take both of them at the same time and get them out of it. But that's, you know, that's up to the Lord too. We can't determine that. And remember Brother Don, and I'll just keep him in mind, the Lord would bless. All right, now remember, the Lord willing, next weekend now, there is some problems with maybe tickets or something went wrong, that they're going to be a little later getting here, but they're supposed to be here for next weekend. Brother Nestor from the Philippines is supposed to be preaching next weekend for us. So just remember that and pray that everything would be all right. I don't understand what it was, but just pray that the Lord would be. And then Brother Richard will be, Brother Wilson will be with us on the Wednesday the 11th. So remember that, you know, and just pray for that. So 1 Chronicles 16 and 1 Corinthians 12. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering together today, and we thank you for thy love and thy grace unto us. We thank you for, Lord, the time that we've had for the past few days to fellowship with the young people, Lord, and to have a good time, Lord, just being around and watching them, and remember our own youth, Lord, and how it used to be and things. And we pray that you would just bless them this morning as they, Lord, are in service for thee, and then take care of everybody on the way home, not just solely our group and our people, but for all the people, Lord, that everything would be wonderful and marvelous for you. We pray that you be here today, that as you open your word, and as those that are not here, when they hear the tapes, may they hear, Lord, from you also. Forgive our sins, and lead us in thy grace and thy love, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 180, I don't know whether that was counting adults and whatever, but that was the adults, but they had probably at least 150 children this time compared to only like 80 last year. So it was really a great turnout, you know, and a lot of new kids come. So just pray for them, the Lord would bless. 1 Chronicles 16. And we're still on just talking to the family, you know, and just probably preach a little different this afternoon, but just this morning we're still talking to church talk, just talking family talk, and talking about respect. And this is, I think, about the fourth message or something on respect that we've had. But 1 Chronicles 16, the background for all of this is not just David. If you go back up above, you see, you'd consider, if you look at it and see it, you see David in this. But it's really the covenant that's made with Israel and the people of Israel. All right? Everybody understand? Because so you're going back up to into the 16th verse, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you but were but few. See, it's not just the prophets and things. Now what? When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. See, basically everybody deals with that, you know, and I go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Basically everybody deals with that as prophets, you know. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm and all. But just remember, it's talking about the anointing, not just necessarily the person or whatever. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. Now remember, see, there's nine spiritual gifts. We'll get to it. But it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the word. And as I said, don't just hold, touch my, not mine anointed, in your thoughts as to meaning just the prophets. Because that's what we want to get on today, is respect for God's gifts. Now that will be covering the nine spiritual gifts, you know, the things, some of it we read there, the gift of this, the gift of that, and it will be covering that. But also it's talking about the fivefold ministry. And the prophets of God, you know, Brother Branham being a prophet and bringing the word and things like that. But, you know, what we'll be covering is to respect for God's gifts. You remember what we were talking about, that Brother Branham said, as we respect one another, we respect God. If we don't respect one another, we're not respecting God. You know, see, there's something wrong with us, because is the last that we were getting is where in John it talks about, how can you love God that you have not seen if you can't love your brothers and sisters, in other words, the people around you, the thing that you have seen? You know, how can you say that if you can't love them? Because, see, there's something wrong. Now, you don't have to love what a person does. Now, I want to make sure that's understood before we talk about it. You don't have to love what a person does, because they can do wrong. You wouldn't want to love Adolf Hitler for killing 6 million Jews. You know, no, you don't want to do that. It's not that away. It's but yet still, respect is what we're talking about, of doing that. See, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, you know, long-sufferings and things like that. And Brother Branham, I gave it to you where he said on page 25, Restoration of the Bride Tree, there's 9 spiritual gifts that works by 9 fruits of the Spirit. See, that's the way it works. It works by the fruits of the Spirit. See, but I want you to think about like this now. Don't think about what a person is. As we'll get to it in a minute about making fun or making light of something, you know. Don't think about the person. As I said to the brethren that have been in the military, you know, and when you salute that, you don't salute the person because you may hate him, especially back maybe at the time you was doing it. You probably hated that person for what they'd done, but you're saluting the stripes or the bars that he has on his shoulder, you know, because it signifies that he's come through the ranks and he has at least in some way acquired that, and the government has instituted that, you know, honor upon him, so you respect that. Because remember now, the respect that we're talking about, respect is to honor someone for the rank they have, the things that they are. And it's not to be afraid of God, as I said, but to respect God. See, godly fear brings a respect for God for what he is. But now keep that in mind as we go along, that see, we're not trying to cover something to just talk about gifts and things, but to make sure that we respect those gifts. I mean, to make sure that we don't make fun of it, as we'll read in a minute. Or respect that gift. Right. Now, the reason I read the scripture there in Chronicles is the brother preached on it the other night, done a good job, Brother Steeman, but it made me think of something that maybe some of you, maybe sometimes in our life we have seen things happen by somebody and we make fun of it. You say, oh, I never done that. Well, be careful now, because making fun is not outwardly laughing. See? It's impossible for a Christian to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. All right? But be careful. You can get yourself in trouble with God about what you do, about what God is doing with somebody. You know, we were, Joseph and them's got it back there. You can see it, where this group of people, you know, was claiming, talking like Benny Hinn and them was talking like, you know, that on the day of Pentecost and all, how that they was drunk in the Spirit and they started just doing and talking about it and build them up and started laughing until those people were just totally rolling out into the floor, you know, and just like they had no control of themselves. Well, see, you'd look at that and say, ah, that's not the Holy Spirit. Now, that's all it takes to get yourself in trouble with God. Amen. But the Holy Ghost don't know. We'll get to it now. See? You don't have to respect maybe the person, because the person might be wrong that's doing that. Right. But what if that's the Holy Spirit doing that? Now, but it's impossible for a born-again Christian to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but it's not impossible for a born-again Christian to make fun of God. I'm letting that sink. You know, I want you to think about it. Just be careful. Because remember, we read the Bible that there's 9 spiritual gifts. You know, we read scripture about the gifts and the 9 fruits of the Spirit. You cover on Galatians. But see, you can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and it be the real genuine Spirit of God working in people, and that person not be born again. Because we're in the day of anointed ones at the end time. Of course, there's been anointed ones in every age. This is not just the only day the anointings have come. There was anointings in every age. It's always been, because once the Holy Ghost fell, it fell on what? All. See, especially coming down today. See, as the Holy Ghost began to fall back there, maybe the first time, second time is only on maybe true born again, you know, I mean true people, you know. But after then it started to working in and all like that. But just don't never make fun of anybody with any gift. You know. See, you don't have to agree on the word. The prophet said, you know, that you don't have to agree. You don't have to do that. You don't have to have, you know, say, well, I've got to stay here, or I've got to do this, I've got to do that, because I don't know. No, you don't have to do all kind of things like it's been taught to people. Just don't make fun of the Holy Ghost when it does something. And now you tell me, well, now, Brother Dale, I got the Holy Spirit, so I know whether the Holy Spirit's on that other person or not. Now, according to the Bible, there was a prophet one time that brought, thus saith the Lord. Another prophet went back and told him God had changed his mind, in other words. So he told him not to eat or nothing or to leave. The other prophet went back and told him, God told me to come tell you to come and eat, in other words. You know what it cost him? It cost him his life. All right? But see, what I want you to look at for a minute is, as I said, the thought behind. Now, that lion that killed that prophet, God didn't kill the lion. Right? The lion was standing there, remember, beside the donkey and the prophet. See, we get our mind set totally on that, you know, and I know it's in our thinking a lot of times, and Satan will bring it and say, see, especially now I start talking about it, you start remembering something you done. Right? You start remembering somewhere where you laughed at somebody. Something that you said about somebody. Well, that's going to be bearing in your mind. You say, well, if I touch God's anointing, then I'm lost. So that's what I say. Everybody just deals only with prophets. But Manasseh there in Kings, he shed innocent blood all over Israel, Jerusalem, you know. And he went into all kind of things and went into captivity. But over in Chronicles, you'll find that when he comes to it, Second Chronicles 33, you'll find that he repents for shedding the blood. And as he did, God restored him, forgave him, and restored the kingdom to him. So don't ever get it in your mind that you can't repent. If you ever get it in your mind that you can't repent, remember, it wouldn't be capable of you repenting if you didn't want to. You remember the little girl that told Brother Branham and you know, made fun of him and said some things. Said, you know, I wouldn't have my cow with that kind of religion. She died screaming for him. But it wouldn't have done no good because she'd already done it back there. See, she'd done messed up. Because she shouldn't have said things like that. See, that's what I tried to get you to, like, this past Wednesday when I was talking about that, you know, the she-bears coming out and killing the little children. Because mama and daddy didn't teach the children not to make fun of the prophet. But now here's our style or ways of doing things that we'd say, well, I've never made fun of the prophet. But just remember, the prophet is the Holy Ghost. Right? See, and that's why I read that scripture in Chronicles, because it's not speaking of just touch not mine anointed, which are the prophets. It didn't say that. It's touch not mine anointed and my prophets. The people didn't get into the countries around and get in trouble with maybe the prophets. Maybe they didn't do anything to the prophets, but they got in trouble with Israel when they touched Israel, because that's what it is. And anybody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an anointed one. Now, people don't like that in the message, see. Oh, I'm not, well, you tell me you're not anointed, I'll tell you you're lost. That's as plain as can be if you don't understand. But see, that's what the trouble is. People haven't been taught what anointing is and what these things are. They only know certain little things. And you say anointed, I don't want to have nothing to do with anointed ones. Well, I do. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the true born again believer is an anointing to you. And you make fun of an anointed one, you're same as making fun of God. And even in this day, it can be the genuine anointing upon the person and doing the works of God, and the person still be lost. Right? All right? See, then you can get yourself in trouble by making light. Now, you remember in Joel where it says, talks about the cankerworm, palmworm, locust, and the caterpillar. Now, watch, I'm just trying to get you to look at something. The Bible says, my great army that I sent among you. Now, God didn't send the locust, the cankerworm, the palmworm, you know, from him. He permitted it to come among the people. But as it took them away, as it destroyed, that was God's word. And you make light of that, you can be making light of what God says. Just be careful, because it's not, it's not just anointed ones of Brother Branham or the prophets or whatever. See, then the fivefold ministry is in there to where that they're the gifts of God given unto the church. You make light of that person, you're making light of the Holy Spirit. It may be even that a lot of those fivefold ministries are not even born-again believers, because in the lines of anointed ones, you would have to have ministries and things. You see what I'm trying to get you to look at? But see, you say, well, Brother Dale, what if I've done this? What if I've made light? Well, that's what I was trying to illustrate with the man that killed a lot of people. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. The brother said he'd run a record to see it and said possibly Manasseh was the one that killed Isaiah. Sawed him asunder. And probably was one that killed some of the other prophets. I think he said four of them. I don't know. I'm not concerned with whether that's right or not. I know the Bible said he shed innocent blood. And irregardless of whether that was a prophet that he killed the people of God. All right? But yet God forgave him. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, because most everybody teaches that if you say anything against God, you're automatically blasphemed. Well, now, that scripture, see, when the brother used that, it really struck me. That man had done all wrong, but yet God forgave him. And God restored him to the kingdom. But you see, church, we get it to the basis that we try to make some kind of a line of what we're doing, and the people say, oh, if you ever made fun of anybody, you're lost. Now, I'm going to say this whether you like it or not. There ain't nobody in this building, including myself, that somewhere in our life that we haven't laughed at what God was doing through somebody. Amen. Now, you differ with me about it. That's your business. But go back in your life and consider what you've done. When you first heard of this message, did you holler amen? Or that's anointed ones. That's all false teaching. We don't want to do that. Come on. So I'm not talking to a world of strangers that you may think you're a goody two-shoe that hadn't done anything wrong, but it's very easy to speak against God. Like one brother telling me, he said, man, I tell you what, I love to take them Trinitarians and just chew them up with that word. And I had to walk off. Because you see, what I meant by having to walk off was, I could see his attitude of what he's talking about. I could see on his face what he's talking about. I could see by his actions what he was talking about. I just tore him up with it. Well, what if he made fun of the Holy Ghost that was on that person? Right. See, we need to walk soft, folks, and consider a lot of things. Amen. And basically to have a repentant heart. Amen. I ain't repenting because I laughed at that old Baptist. It's like I told you last week. If we went right over there today to that service, I wouldn't go in there laughing and hollering, talking, cutting up. I try to respect it. Yesterday, it was Friday, when we got through doing all of our things, we closed the doors and tried to keep everybody, of course they kept coming through, but tried to keep everybody from going through where the banquet was going to be. Why? Because you're going to have a service there. I've seen people, and kids will do it, and I know if kids do it, mom and them let them go in a church somewhere and point at something and laugh. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just looked at the picture on the wall of the Virgin Mary in life and say, oh boy, they're all messed up. See, we don't think about how simple it is. You know, how small the little thing is that moves into our lives, and the first thing you know, we're tied up with those things. And I heard a man talking, he was telling about it his own self. He laid down on the bench in a church because there's a woman preacher there. Well, what did he go for? He ought to stay at home. I mean, my goodness. You know the woman's going to be there. What are you going for? You know, the woman preacher. But you see, that could be what's wrong with all of us, sickly wise. It's because we haven't, as Brother Richard Wilson been preaching now for quite a while, a wonderful message on discerning the Lord's body. That's why this is not a plaything. To come to church and be a Christian is not a plaything. It's not just a joking, playing thing. But you don't have to come in like, well, I'm in the spirit. No. No, this is in the middle of the road. prophet said, shout all you want to as long as you walk straight and you come back down. So now he had the middle of the road, right? But you see, I see all of us that sometimes we don't respect one another. We don't look at that as being maybe God upon that person. Now, can I quote Brother Branham? I say that because of her own disbelief of it, because you've got the quotes laid in front of you. But Brother Branham said, what if God had the Holy Ghost on that person to make that person say something to you, to see how you would react? That ain't right. Well, argue with the prophet and God about it. That might be what's wrong with us. That might be the problem of the sicknesses and the heartaches and the troubles, is because that we haven't searched back through our lives to find out if somewhere we did in some way make light of God. You don't never hear me holler about them dirty, filthy, rotten old denominational stuff. The anointing of God could be there and do great signs and wonders. People of this message make light of all kind of gifts. Right? Especially tongues and interpretation or something like that, or getting happy in the spirit and crying and weeping and make light of it. Well, if you're going to take away one of the spiritual gifts, you're going to have to take all nine of them away. Because if you can take one away, you've lost all the other eight. Respect them all. Respect those gifts to where that those gifts can help you. Because if we don't respect the gifts can't help us. And I'm talking about the gifts, as we read, of discernment, the gifts of speaking in tongues, the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of knowledge, the fivefold ministry, preaching the gospel. I'm not going to make fun of no woman preacher. But if she asks me, I'll just tell her, well, I don't agree with it. Well, anointing was on me, you seen it. I say, amen. It's on Saul too. That's why David couldn't touch Saul. He had the opportunity to kill him two or three times. And one time he cut off that part of his garment and he really felt bad about it. Because God had chosen Saul not to be a prophet, but he had chosen him to be a king over Israel. Right. Now the Bible calls him a prophet, and Brother Ram did, because the Spirit of the came on him as he was among the prophets and things, and that's fine. Because Brother Ram said, like the gifts, and I've got one in here, I think, that I made sure to give you. Maybe it's the last one I put on there. But Brother Branham is talking about how that a gift can be on one person tonight and on another person tomorrow night. There's a lot of that. I mean, I just chose one to where you'd think about it. Because, the Holy Spirit can be on one person here and never use that person again in that gift. I believe every born-again believer has a gift. We're not talking about the ministry now. We're talking about gifts there. But even if you're a born-again Christian with a ministry gift, gifts and callings are without repentance. It was there before you was born again. And honor those gifts and God will honor you. Don't make light of them because that, and like I said, the prophet said it may be on one person to do it, another person the next night. But honor the gifts. Well, that wasn't on me. I don't know whether it's right or not. See, you can just get yourself in trouble. That's why that there's sicknesses among us. That's what the Bible says. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, are dead, plainly. And that can be dead spiritually and physically. That's why I don't make no light of nobody, because don't do it, your children will follow what you're doing. You say, I don't understand that, because there's a quote in there if I don't read it. Brother Run said, just say, I don't understand it. So I don't understand about it, but said, you know, just leave it alone. Because see, you can be fighting against God, the scripture says. Now, Brother Branham's the one that said it. He said if the Branham Tabernacle chose for Brother Neville to be their pastor and preach Jehovah Witness doctrine, he said, that's a sovereignty of the Spirit. You say, oh, well, he was trying to, well, go ahead and interpret all you want to, but just get what he's saying. No, the Holy Spirit is not the author of the Jehovah Witness doctrine. No. But yet he can come in there and anoint. I've got a little something, if I ever get enough on it to speak on it, I want to get on to talking about God in a way, and you know that we had a worship service this morning, sounded real good, you know, singing, worshiping, praising God. But you know, they had a worship service right over there. Theirs might have been better than ours. You know that God might have liked that better than he did ours. Because why? Because the word God means object of worship. You know, he'll receive worship from anyone. And honors that. But yet we just make fun and make light of all God. No, don't do that. Because you're touching the anointing of God. If that Holy Spirit is causing that person to do that, be careful. Even if a Christian that we know has the Spirit of God within them, and they do something wrong, be careful how you make light about that. Now you can say, I don't agree with it. It's not right. Don't do it. Forget it. You're anointed of the devil to do those things. But be careful, because how are you going to divide between what's inside of them and what's outside of them? Well, I know the Spirit of God. See, that's what I'm saying. That's the reason I'm bringing this message this way. It's because, like that, you don't know the Spirit of God. Because if you knew the Spirit of God, you'd know it could be right over on that man this morning and preaching the gospel through that man. And I'm not making light of the church over there or the man, either one. I'm just trying to tell you the truth about it. The Holy Spirit could be right over there using somebody. And somebody could actually get born again. Now, as quick as they do, but when they hear the truth, they're going to leave there. We know that. Because they're going to come to the Word. But don't make light of nothing. Like I said, when I saw that about them crawling on the floor, just laughing and laughing, and just like a slithering snake just sliding right out of the seats like it had no control and just down in the floor, you know, and just like it were drunk. I looked at that and I said, God, don't let me make light of that. Don't let me make light of that, Lord, because that's nothing to me. Don't make fun of it. Just leave it alone. Let it come to its own. You can't go out and straighten out the world today and tell them how to be. They're not going to listen. The people this message in the biggest percent are not going to listen either, you know, to you trying to tell them anything about it. Because you go to one church, it goes one way, one or the other. But I'm still not going to make light of that. I've seen people do things that I thought in my own mind was probably a bad example even in front of people. I've seen them buck danks and claiming to be in the Spirit, but I never laughed at that person. I never made no light of the person because, you know, of what, if that was the Spirit, it was on them. But now the body might have been doing a lot of things I didn't agree with. That's the reason I don't like to sit behind the platform when people are singing. Because I've seen some women that I sat behind them and I just had to bow my head. Because they got to moving parts that I didn't think was going to be moved while they were singing. And I still ain't going to make no light of it. I just don't agree with it. But you see what I'm trying to say is, church, that we think that just anointed ones means the prophets. No, it means anyone that is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Anyone that anointing is upon and you make light, you're making light of the anointing. Don't do it. Just turn away. Just say, I don't agree with that. You don't have to agree with it. But just respect it and say, that's it. But see, just ask God, God forgive me down through there. Maybe I've made light of somebody. You say, well, if it is, I don't remember it, so it ain't. No, wait a minute. Now, God remembers. He remembers everything we don't repent of. Now, is that right? He remembers everything that we haven't repented of. And I'm honest. I do it like this a lot of times. And I pray to God it'll work. I believe it does. But sometimes I say, God, there's a lot of things. You know, we got what we used to preach in the Baptist, all mission and commissions, and I never did understand that. I'm just dealing with the remission. But I say sometimes, Lord, if there's anything else, somewhere I've done wrong, something I've done, you bring it to my attention. You bring it to my attention. I'll go get it straight. There's nothing there. Just forgive me because I know I'm human. Like I said, it's just a little snigger, just a something. But you let your kids see you snigger, they're going to life. Come on. It's going to be worse for them because they're going to life. Those people there with the she-bears and Elisha, they probably said, well, I don't agree with old bald head. That's probably all they said. But when the kids done it, remember the Bible talks about iniquity visited, and Brother Brown explains it like this, said she's a coarse girl. Mama's a coarse girl. You know what I'm saying? Coming on down, it gets greater and greater. Said daughter might be a prostitute. Why? Because it's going worse. See, we make light, and our children see us make light of something. They're going to make it a whole lot worse. You better be careful, because a lot of them, if they're a little bitty ones, they're going to go tell somebody what you've done. Yeah. But see, anointed ones are just not making fun of preachers that are anointed. That anointing can be upon a total hypocrite. Brother Branham told about it, didn't he? He met the men there of his first meetings, in the oneness convention. And there was one of them speaking tongues, the other interpret. Next day, the other would speak in tongues, maybe that one interpret and all that. He said, I went out and met him. He said, one of them was a total hypocrite. That he was married to one colored hair woman and living with another one. Kind of funny, the difference in it. Go back and check and see if it's right. The one that he saw that was the genuine was the one that got on to him and told him he didn't have the Holy Ghost because he hadn't spoken tongues. Go check it. The one he said that was, said one of them was genuine. But said the man said, have you ever spoken tongues? He said, nope. He said, you ain't got it. But see, church, it's so simple to grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about blaspheme it. If you're born again, you can't blaspheme it. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. You can grieve the Holy Spirit until it'll move away from you just because of some little something. So it's so, oh, it's so easy for us to justify somebody running out in front of us, you know, to make us slam on our brakes and stop. And then we get a little bit upset and say something. Well, they ought not have done it. They ought not have done it. They caused me to do it. That don't mean a thing with God. That don't erase nothing. Saying I'm sorry is what erases. Saying forgive me is what erases. Not to justify, well, I had a right to say that. No, they ain't, no. I thought we as sheep forfeited all rights we have. But how many of you have made light of speaking in people speaking in tongues and things? The gifts of any form. How many of you made light of the message when you first heard it? Don't tell me when you first heard it, you just automatically, I disagree with everything said. Now, I'm not going to tell you that because I didn't do it. And just remember, I've been through most of you and your experiences. So I'd be careful. Because I can remember when I was dealing with you to try to keep you from making light of the message. Best thing to do is just say, I don't understand. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Let's just read a few things Brother Randall had to say on it. Just don't respect the gifts and the things, and don't make light. In Hebrews chapter 6, right down to the last paragraph, Brother Randall gets to talking about the Orthodox Catholics and the Protestants walk the street and make fun of the operation of the Holy Ghost. Just as a polished scholar, as slick as a button. That's right. But they make fun of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, they blaspheme it. But a born-again Christian cannot do that. He'll say, that's my brother. That's the Spirit of the living God. That's right. A Christian cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. It's the sinner that blasphemes the Holy Ghost. The unbeliever, the sinner, and unbeliever, there's only the two. I wanted to give you that as a double form. One, it says, you know, they make fun of the Holy Ghost and they'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you could blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If you're not a born-again Christian, you could have already blasphemed the Holy Ghost by simply laughing at somebody. Just simply making fun of somebody. That the Spirit of God was on that was working in them. He said, well, Brother Dale, how do I know? Well, that's where he and I gave you the illustration of the Manasseh there. Because if you read it in Kings, it sounded like he was gone. But you got to go over and pick it up from the Chronicles where it brings him back and sets him back as king. And he straightens up with God. And he'd shed innocent blood. He had done a lot wrong. But yet he didn't blaspheme. Well, that's, I agree with you. It looks like God is a respecter of persons sometimes. But I don't agree with the thought he does. I just said it looks like sometimes he does. Because one person laugh and make fun, the other person laugh and make fun. He credits one as blaspheming, the other one he lets go. But just remember, he knows our heart and what we really mean. He knows our heart and what we really mean. But you see, people could get so involved in their understanding of the truth, they think, until, say, the prophet said, all babies go to heaven. Well, what if one of them she-bears that killed those 42 children, what if a couple of those children were little kids that hadn't reached the age of accountability? Where'd they go? Well, they went to hell because they made fun of the prophet. No, see, that's what I'm saying. We think we've got it all figured out. God comes along and sticks somebody in the Bible like Manasseh there and says, I forgive you. Look at David having his own mighty men killed to cover up an adulterous act. And God calls him the apple of his eye. listen to the prophet. Go on down to the message, respect, 1961, 10:15, the last paragraph. Well, let's read the whole thing. I know of three boys one time that mocked communion in the church. Know of them. Now, they mocked communion. And they went up in the hotel room and got some ham sandwiches and a bottle of whiskey and had their communion up there, making fun of the communion they had in a Pentecostal church. Less than 3 months from them, all three was to one of them was dead and two was in the insane institution. Now, I know I try to make things enough to make you think, but what if that Pentecostal church was using grape juice? And what if they was using soda crackers? The prophet didn't explain. He just said they made fun of a communion in a Pentecostal church. He says, you can't disrespect God. You got to respect God. If you don't believe it, just keep still. Keep away from it. Or either do that, or come reverently and respect it. Don't make fun of people in the Spirit. Don't talk about people that's worshiping in the Spirit of God. Let them alone. Don't make fun of it. Just leave it alone. But God, I don't understand that. Like Brother Brown said, I'm not going to tell that woman preacher that God didn't call her. Do you remember that? He said, but I'll tell her that it's not according to the Scriptures. What do we do? Still in the same message, respect, but it's paragraph 187. Let me come to the Branham Tabernacle, please. Now, God's begin to pour out gifts upon us. We see it. Now, what is the gift of God today? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that's in us. We've got to respect that. We've got to respect it on every person it comes upon. You've got to re-gift. To God's divine gifts. When He sends those gifts, no matter how real they are, it'll never help us until we get to the place till we can respect it. Somebody can give a prophecy. If you don't believe in prophecy, it'll never do you any good. You've got to have reverence and you've got to respect it. You've got to believe that it comes from God. Believe it, listen now, believe it till it's proved wrong. Now listen to your prophet. Believe it till it's proved wrong. Then when it's proved wrong, then you have a right to disbelieve it. Then don't associate with it no more. But as long as it's being proven out to be truth, then believe it. Go on down then. Paragraph 216. Let us bow our head just a moment for prayer, before we go to prayer, and I'd like to know if there's anybody in here would like to say, Brother Branham, I want you to pray for me that I'll have great respect for God, that I'll always be able to keep my mouth shut against God's things, no matter what they are. And may God place in my heart to respect every divine gift He sends into the church. He said, will you raise your hands and say, pray for me, God bless you, nearly every hand in the church, and I have mine up too. God, help me to be a servant of yours. Help me to respect my brothers. Help me to respect my sisters. And every spirit of God that comes into the meeting, whether it be speaking with tongues, whether it be interpretation of the tongue, whether it be prophecy, whether it be gifts of discernment, whatever it is, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, send them. Send them, oh, Lord. I thank you. I am thankful to you. Right, watch him. Going down. Perseverance, 1962. E-79. It's in 623. Now, that's the way you get something done. Now, that's the way the congregation ought to be about your pastor. And that's when God will answer. That's right. You've got to respect God's gift in the right way, with reverence. And ministry is minister gifts. There are gifts in the body, five spiritual gifts that's predestinated and foreordained of God to the church. I know there's 9 local gifts in the body, but these are God's offices, God's office gifts. The office, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And you must respect them if we expect something from God. And that last one on down there where he covered, he said, now, it may be on one person tonight, another person tomorrow night. God even says you can, God says, Brother Brown said, God can raise you up 30 years for one sermon. Maybe I hadn't preached mine yet. That's the reason he ain't through with it. Yeah. For one sermon. Yeah. Well, but do you respect the gifts of God, all the gifts, whether it be the ministry or whether it be the gifts that's in one another? I encourage you to yield yourself to the gifts of God. I've never been one to beat you down about it. We had one brother came here, and he got to, you know, speaking in tongues a little, and some people said a lot about it, and I told him to leave it alone. I said, but first off, he's only speaking in Spanish. And you know what that done? He left because he was offended. I told the truth about it. Well, I wasn't making fun of what he's doing. I just tell him what he done. I didn't say he wasn't talking to God. I said he was speaking in Spanish. See, that way you're not making light of the gift. You're just saying, I don't agree with what the person's doing. You see the Holy Ghost come on somebody and they do something that you don't agree with. Don't make light of that. Just say, I don't agree with it. I mean, I've had to stand here with some of you and say, the Lord just didn't tell me that. And you say, the Lord told me so. I said, that's all right. That's fine. See, I've got to stand on my own. But I'm still not going to go tell everybody that, no, that brother, that sister's wrong. No, I just said I don't agree with it. So God didn't show it to me, a big man in this message, when it taught the two-soul doctrine. He tried to tell me what he taught about. I said, I just can't see it. I said, you pray for me, I'll pray for you. I said, because I can't understand. I can't see what you're talking about. I've spoken about him like that in many other ways. But I've never made light of what we're doing. Because God might have allowed that spirit on him to carry a lot of people away. Come on. If you don't understand way, you don't understand it that way, you can't understand anointed ones. That God can allow the person to actually be wrong and do a lot of things wrong. But yet at times the anointing can come upon the person till it would be the genuine Holy Spirit speaking through him. That's hard to understand sometimes. But how is it the prophet said that the devil is going to try us? He can't try us with a Baptist doctrine. You've got to have somebody in the message closer to the truth. But a man's up here bringing a doctrine. Somebody comes in here and they start out on an outlandish thing. Just pull back in your mind and say, okay, pray for the person. But thank God that he's revealed the truth to you. And then you can pray for the person. If not, you'll get upset. And getting upset with the person might prove you don't have what you're talking about. You ain't never seen me come up and take anybody out of the pulpit, have you? Because the Bible says the Spirit is subject to the prophets. If somebody come in here today and preach the outlandish doctrine of all outlandish could be, unless he asked me in the middle of the message what I thought about it or something like that, I would not get up and stop him. Well, I just get up and leave. You might be disrespectful, too. Because you ought to be praying for the person. Well, I don't want my kids to hear all this. Hey, folks. Your kids already know a whole lot more about life when they're little bitty things. When they get up to 7, 8, 10 year old, They done know more about life than we did when we was 30-year-old. They might not have experienced it, but they've been around. But just, see, respect the gifts. And God will respect you. Well, I don't agree with speaking in tongues. Somebody starts speaking in tongues, I just get all upset them speaking in tongues. You could grieve the Holy Spirit. You could be sick because you grieve the Holy Spirit. Brother Dale, you keep coming back to that. You're throwing that at me. I can't throw. I can say I can't throw. But if you're upset with me about it and thinking that, then there is something wrong with you. Now that's throwing. Now we got it in the right category. If you get upset because I say something, that means you're wrong. You ought to go check it. But I know what I'm doing because the Holy Spirit told me to be careful. You don't see Brother Branham with that kind of an attitude. And you don't see the Lord Jesus with that kind of attitude. Like I've always tried to explain to you, when the Bible says there to John, what was John told when he was out in the wilderness? That whom you see the anointing come upon and remain, he is the Messiah. He probably was standing there when Caiaphas prophesied some things, and he could see that anointing come down. John was a prophet. He could see, oh, Caiaphas up there prophesied. He said, my Lord, I don't agree with what he's talking about. But that anointing's right. But then one day he saw one that had come upon and remained. But yet, now I'm like this, he was a prophet. He still didn't base it just on what he saw in his eyeballs. He based it upon what the man was saying, the word that was being brought. But you see, church, come on, brother. Don't make fun of the gifts of God. You can get yourself in trouble with God. Don't make light of what he's doing. Even in someone else that's outside the message or something. See, that's the way the people of the message think. They think we can make fun of somebody out there. That might be the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's only in the message. Well, you don't understand Brother Brown's message. Thank God for him bringing a message called Anointed Ones. So where would you and I be if he hadn't explained that? What if we had all the message except that one message? What if you had all of the message where he would explain sometime about the person and that person being anointed and said, that was Almighty God? You couldn't get your Bible together correctly. But see, touch not mine anointed and not dealing with just prophets. It's not dealing with just making fun of preachers. It's respect one for the other. Just leave it alone if you don't understand it. Pray for the person what the prophet said to do. Don't make light of anything. Just pray for the person. But the Lord could straighten them out. And if there's something you can do in the next stage, you're supposed to go talk to the person if it's something you want to do that on. But you pray for them first. But church, see, I'm just leaving it to the basis that I explained it as much as I could. That the man sinned against God and killed and done a lot wrong, but God forgave him. It's impossible for a true born-again Christian to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, well, I might have done something back yonder. Well, if you got the Holy Ghost now. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost now, if you got the new birth now, then the slate had to be wiped clean. But yet still, where are we every day? Just don't make light of it. I'm going to be as honest as I can be, because I know we're all human. Brother Branham called Mary, Martha, Peter, Paul, 7,000, 700. And you make light at that and laugh about it. You could be in trouble. Somebody make a figure of, you know, a different a speech, you know, problem, you know, something was said, and you see, your mind is always way ahead of what you're saying with your mouth when you're trying to preach, because you're trying to line up things. But then you say something, and people just, they just laugh like everything about it. Well, just, you ought not do it. Pray for the person. Because if you was up here, you'd do two times that worse. And you wouldn't want nobody laughing at you. But that's, people don't think about that. They think they make perfect speeches. You know the way they tell a document, whether it's a real, genuine document? Do you know how it is? You know how they tell a real, genuine document, a real, genuine, authentic book that's wrote by somebody or article by somebody? Because of the mistakes that's made in it. If they find one perfect and everything perfectly lined up, they know it's a copy. Because you see, you're going to make mistakes all the time. But you say, God, be with the person. Put it in a place where it's supposed to be. I've amened a lot of things. People say, you amen something wrong. I said, no, I amened up to the point. Because up to the point it was all right, but then the next two or three words changed it. I didn't amen that. I was amening what my mind was working on before. But see, just don't make no light of nobody. You can get yourself in trouble with God. Because we're all the children of God, and the anointing is upon us. So think of it. Let's stand. 139 in the Sparrow Book. Today, as I thought. Anybody have a need? See? I know family talk a lot of times not uplifting and anointing and going like you feel. But it may be needful. As he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way for the Comforter abides in me. Heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. You know, we say, and I do too, I like to change that in me. But don't make somebody fun of somebody that sings it with me, because he is with me. I just sang in me because it's personal. But they sang with me in most of the churches, and you know. You don't get up there and say, y'all singing that wrong, supposed to be in me. Because he is with me. But he's in me. Name above all. Anybody have a need? Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. Who is he? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God is with us. Blessed Redeemer. Living Word. One more time. Jesus. Name above all. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. Emmanuel. God is with you. Blessed Redeemer. And listen just for a moment as I try to make an expression. You know, every one of us, if we were called upon today, could give a testimony of where we came from, what church we came from, whatever, in the message, the denominations we came from. And you know, we'd all bring something maybe that I left that church because so-and-so said so-and-so about this, or something, what, you know, they got off the message, or they said something, or done this or that or the other. You know, are you going to give the devil credit for running you out of them churches? Now consider it. Are you going to give the devil credit for running you out of them denominational churches? No, God run me out. But you know what he done? He used a lot of them people to say things I didn't like. See, I can look back at that now and I can say, thank God for what they said. Because it drove me out. Might have been God leading them to say it like that. Like I told you in the Baptist church I was in, if you were ever in a Baptist, you'd know that they don't pray in Jesus' name and all that. They say for Christ's sake or the name of the Lord or whatever, you know. They don't say in the name of Jesus. And that preacher come in, you know, and I pondering, Brother Mo, to talk to me about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and I could see by Scripture it was right, but I still had this problem in the human. And the preacher got up there and he preached, all you do in word and do all in the name of Jesus Christ. All them people started praying in Jesus' name because they preached such a message till the whole church changed. I mean, it's, you know, I noticed it was there, you know, because I knew what they'd done. But to me, it sent me to the water. But see, God brought that person by to speak that message to me because that settled it. Maybe that was one scripture that Brother Moult had never said, you know, or something, to get me to see it. Well, see, thank God for the truth, right? No matter how it come. Thank God for the truth. Right? Father, thank you for today, and I pray that what we've said has been acceptable unto you, because we've tried to make an honest commitment to show the people what we're talking about. That we're talking about respecting you, Father. No matter who you use to do what you have need of, help us to honor that and respect it. And then when we see things that we don't exactly agree with, help us not to make light of that, but to ponder it, to watch it, to see. We remember the time when the prophet was sitting on the platform and the young girl began to dance in the spirit. And he began to ponder in his mind, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? She's out there dancing and things, and we don't agree." But said in a few moments, he got out of his own self, Lord, and he got out there with her. He was dancing in the spirit, too. Thank you for what you've done for all of us. Thank you for your love and your grace and your understanding. Father, thank you for you. We pray now that as we dismiss to go eat a natural meal, that you'll take care of everybody. Be with all of the ones on the way home, Lord. Be with the cars and take care of them and give everybody a safe journey. Let your love be made manifest. Forgive our sins. And Lord, if we made light of somebody somewhere that it was really you working in us, in them or something, forgive us, Father. Cleanse us. Make it right, Lord. We owe an apology. We'll go to them, Father, because we want everything right with you. Lord, we love you. Just have your way now in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Here is the plan. Waited high in the sky.